The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable, exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union studios at the Butzmir Building in Athens.
25-20, fourth sideline, 15-10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Butzmir Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
And it is indeed the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you from the heartbeat of Dog Nation, Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios. And let me tell you right now what a day today is, because today happens to be not only April the 6th, and which means we're 11 days away from G-Day and the Dogs back between the hedges at Sanford Stadium, but it also happens to be National Student Athlete Day, and we're so happy to be celebrating that, an opportunity to give a little credit to these young men and women, both in high school and college, who work so hard, not only academically in their classrooms, but also at their chosen sport, and that's always a big thing to us, so we're going to celebrate that today a little bit. John Frierson, who's a terrific writer, works with the University of Georgia, has a great article out on GeorgiaDogs.com about National Student Athlete Day and a little bit about what's behind it, what goes into it, and how these student athletes, how much work they put into it. We're also going to be joined by our J. Reed Parker, Director of Athletics, Josh Brooks, and hopefully Josh is with us now. And if that's the case, Josh, I got to tell you, I really greatly appreciate your time this morning, but National Student Athlete Day, it is why you do and other members of the athletic department do what they do.
Yeah, Chuck, that's what I always say, and I always remind our student-athletes that they are the reason for what I do and I do. They're my why. Without them, there's no need for me. I mean, they can go play intramural sports or do whatever anywhere, but without them, I don't have a job, so I'm extremely appreciative of them, and they're at the core of everything I do.
And sometimes, you know, we sit back and we look at all the work that goes into what really amounts to just a few minutes of playing, actual playing time sometimes, particularly in football. When you start to break down the number of minutes players are actually on the field and you compare that with the number of minutes that they put in, well, like at practice at G-Day, practice during the season, weightlifting, all the training that goes on year-round just to get on the field and play for those few minutes.
Yeah, and I'm reminded that, honestly, Chuck, when I watch my kids compete, and something, and how they cherish those moments of just being able to compete. We love to compete. We are a group full of competitors, coaches, student athletes, administrators who love to compete, and you work 365 for so few limited opportunities. So in light of what we went through the last 12 months and getting to now, we want to cherish each moment and maximize each moment, because we can't take any of these moments for granted. So with all that said, we're appreciative of them and whatever we can do to maximize those opportunities and really just make them as best as they could be for our student athletes to help them create memories that they'll remember the rest of their lives.
Well, I do see the work that goes into it, and it is appreciated, Josh, for that whole athletic department there at the University of Georgia. Let's talk a little bit about G-Day. How excited are you just 11 days away?
Oh, it's very exciting, especially since we didn't have it last year. You know, G-Day's always been a great opportunity for everyone to come out in the spring and see the work that's been put in. You know, for those young men getting ready for next season. You know, we're obviously sticking to the plan we had for the fall, trying to keep everyone safe as we navigate through these, hopefully the final few months of these logistics. But a great plan, should be a great day, and really just excited to get the experiences and see these young guys keep it open.
Let me ask you a little bit about some of the things that have happened since you and I last had an opportunity to chat here on the Bulldog Roundtable. One is signed Louisville, home and home, I believe 26 and 27. Is that correct?
That's correct. And, you know, you really got to give a lot of credit to Coach Smart and his staff, Josh Lee, the work they put in. Once we hit 2025, the schedule for the next 10 years is just going to be amazing. And I think it's really been a focus on providing, you know, a great schedule for our fan base, an opportunity for our team to compete at high levels. And I think kudos to them for the work they've done. And I think hopefully it sets a standard for others to follow in terms of that scheduling model.
Yeah, and let me ask you about that. The scheduling model that Georgia has now put in place that has the Oklahomas, I believe Texas is on there, Clemson is on there, FSU is on there. Who am I leaving out?
Do we say UCLA?
UCLA is on there. You've got Louisville now added to the. Is this now the? Is this going to be the future of college football scheduling? The Power Five conferences hooking up with other, other conferences to play their out of schedule games or out of conference games.
Exactly, but I would see a shift that I think. We've proven to be the industry setting the standard, and I think others will follow. Fortune favors the bold. I think we're committed to playing a competitive schedule, and I think again, kudos to the staff. And you know, it's like the old saying, "Iron sharpens iron," so it's the way we get better by challenging ourselves. And again, I'm proud of what we're taking on, and I think it's going to provide a compelling home schedule. We're going to have really strong home schedules. Moving forward, once we get that 2026 year, every year we're going to have it's going to help us strengthen our home schedule here in Athens, which is, you know, good for so many reasons.
Kirby's been a strong proponent of that, I know, and it's great to see us, scheduling, as you say, other strong opponents. Let me ask you about, you've given a contract extension to our women's basketball coach, Joni Taylor, and what a great season they've had, but even more, I think, important is that you look at where this program is and the way it's built for the future.
Yeah, and, you know, Joni's the total package. Obviously, she's had success on the court. Obviously, her student-athletes have been stuck with her and had done well in the classroom, graduated. But even more than that, it's what she's done in developing young women who are committed to her, who – you know, you're seeing them, they're going to be successful linebackers. That's the ultimate goal with every program, right? We want to win championships, we want to graduate student athletes, but how are we preparing them for life after UGA? And I think no one does that better than Joni. And she just represents everything, you know, that's important to me and a head coach. So getting her locked down was extremely important for me. And, you know, it was extremely frustrating for all of us that, you know, we had some injuries and situations that arose around the tournament that hurt us a little bit. But we still fought through it, and I think the future is extremely bright. We have a phenomenal incoming class freshman this year, and I think the future is going to get better and better under her leadership. So I can't tell you how excited I am just to lock her down for a long time.
Well, congratulations to you and Joni for getting that done. Let me ask you about something that is a bit controversial from the standpoint of how fans look at it. We look at it in a good way when we're getting. We look at it in a bad way when we're losing, and that is the transfer portal. Where are we going with this, and can it keep going at the rate it's going?
You know, obviously it's a transformational shift, right? The number of kids we have in the portal, I think we're up to 1,200. In men's basketball right now, could be even more as we're talking. Could, you know, and that could keep going. It could, who knows where it'll stop. Right now, I think we're at about, 30% plus of all basketball students in the portal. You know, and basketball is a different animal, right? You've got one ball, five starters, 13 kids, creates a lot of dynamics of people who want more shots, want more opportunities. So it's difficult to keep everyone happy. So we're seeing that across all landscapes. And if you think about heck, just look at Baylor. Over 50% of their points and 50% of their minutes came from transfers on their team. So it may become the new normal. And we could sit back and complain about it all day or worry, but the better approach is how do we attack it? How do we take advantage of this? We've got a head basketball coach, Tom Crean, who's got a great reputation of developing guys for the NBA. So if these transfers are looking for an opportunity to develop and move on to the NBA, we've got a leg up in the competition because we've got a guy who's put guys, Anthony Edwards, Victor Oladipo. Well, we can talk to those points. So we've got to just find a way to take advantage of the situation and make the best of it. We can sit here and complain about it all day. That's not going to do any good. Now, do I think it'll level off in a year or two? We'll see, because obviously with the rumors of the NCAA granting a one-time waiver and all the things, it could be spiking the number of kids in the portal this year. And you never know how this plays out, because you could have a ton of kids get in the portal and not all of them find the homes that they want. They may not find the opportunity they want, and it could down the road lead to less. But this could become the new norm, and we've got to be ready for it. You know, I always say change is inevitable. Growth is optional. So we know change is always coming in every facet of what we do. It's how we respond to it is the true makeup of how we're going to be as a program. So that's my take on it.
All right, before I let you go, Josh, one final question. September 4th against Clemson in Charlotte, full capacity. I know that's the plan. What indications are you getting from North Carolina, from that state, that we will indeed be able to have that on September 4th there?
Yeah, we're working closely with officials there and obviously with Clemson, and we'll keep tracking everything. I think there's some good markers. We're seeing good signs, Major League Baseball, and how they're headed, the Braves. They're planning to be full capacity by All-Star break. So we'll keep tracking everything, and I think one of the good markers will be we've got that NASCAR race in Charlotte on Memorial Day, which would be a great indicator as well. So there's a lot of points that we're gauging along the way, but, you know, that's the plan. We'll always have contingency plans if need be. You know, we've proven, again, we can always pivot quickly. We're ready to if we need to be, but the plan is to keep tracking, and hopefully we'll be at 100% for that opening game, which will be the premier game of the week in college football, open it up.
No doubt about that, Josh. Thank you so much for your time. Josh Brooks, our J. Reed Parker, Director of Athletics, spending a little time with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. Josh, we'll catch up with you again in a few weeks. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks, Chuck. You have a great day.
You too. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to be joined by Chip Towers of the AJC and AJC.com. He's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan. This is Bulldog Roundtable.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballou here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
With Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Hey, welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. You know, they used to say at the old Atlanta Journal, they used to say covers Dixie like the dew, but I'll tell you what, Chip Towers covers the Dogs like the dew. And, Chip, you've been around that program a long, long time, but it's exciting to see. You know, here we are just 11 days away from G-Day, and having missed it last year, you know, gosh, I didn't realize how much we did miss it.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, Chuck, that, you know, for years the G-Day game, I guess as a sports reporter, as a journalist, a beat guy, you kind of rolled your eyes about it. But you know, nowadays, kind of the way things are, everybody's so insulated, you look forward to it a lot more because it's really your first chance to get a look at the team. I mean, you know, we haven't been able to see them other than some, you know, some highlights here and there, and, you know, what you hear from Coach Smart and others who have had access to practice. So, you know, it's kind of exciting for that standpoint to see, get a fresh look and make your own observations.
You know, and speaking of that, is it harder to cover than it used to be? I mean, we don't have the access that we used to have. So is it harder to cover these practices and get, you know, a real good read on where the team stands?
Well, certainly it is from the standpoint. I mean, you know this, and I don't want to sound like the old guy's been doing it forever, but, you know, in the old days, I would get over at the practice complex at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then stand out there and watch practice until it was over at 6:30. Right. And, and usually I'd chew two bags of sunflower seeds in the process while I watch it. So the point is I would be making observations, making notes, who's playing what they're just, so you just felt like you knew the team a whole lot better. And, I think Kirby's fairly transparent, you know, in most areas, but, you know, he's also, you know, he's not going to blow people up. He's not going to tear them down. You know, he's always going to stay right there in the middle pretty much. And so, it's more difficult. It's different, you know. But, you know, it's less difficult when you think about, I'm sitting in my office at my house, you know, talking on a Zoom. So, you know, it's not as much trouble from that standpoint. But you just don't feel like you're quite as, quite the level of expertise that you might have had before.
All right, now don't laugh out loud, but at this next question, but has Kirby mellowed some?
I'm sorry, I could not laugh.
Has he?
It does seem that way a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it just seems that he's there's something about him that's a little different than several years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, you know, let's face it. I mean, this is year six, and I'm sure Kirby is much more comfortable in his own skin. And, you know, I think he's confident about what George is doing. And you know, certainly, you know, there's pressure. He probably feels that it manifested itself in different ways. I do think that, you know, he's a little less cautious, if you will. I mean, I think he's been fairly forthcoming for the most part in these different Zoom interviews that he's had. You know, I wish we could talk to him every day, you know, and kind of get a daily real-time thing, because we only get him once a week. And, you know, a lot of times you're not sure a week later whether you should even ask him about something that you wondered about a week ago. But generally he's been pretty forthcoming, and look, it's spring practice, right? And, you know, when the defense looks good, it means the offense wasn't good, vice versa. It's pretty clear in Georgia's scenario is pretty clear. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty solid on offense, even with George Pickens and Jermaine Burton and Arian Smith out at the moment. I still think Georgia is what they're going to be on offense, and that hasn't changed. And defensively, you know, they have the defensive back issue. I mean, nobody loses five DBs to the NFL. I mean, that's one to transfer, four in a transfer. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's just unbelievable. But I do think if any team was suited, you know, maybe Georgia and Alabama would be the two teams best suited to kind of make that replacement, you know, work. And then we get the news of Tyke Smith. That's a big deal transfer right there. It's a huge get for Georgia. And I don't know whether the transfer portal's over now, but, you know, between that and the guys that you were already recruited and were training to come into this season, I think Georgia's going to be pretty good. But, you know, G-Day will show us a little bit. I'm sure they'll be throwing the ball a lot because they always do in G-Day anyway. That might tell us something. Maybe not. We'll see.
Chip, you bring up the name of Tyke Smith, and we all got excited about seeing that he had committed to the University of Georgia in that transfer portal out of West Virginia. But there's no assurance, is there, that the NCAA will grant eligibility to him, or do we feel pretty confident that that'll happen?
Well, you feel pretty confident, you know, in this day and age, especially when it's not an intra-conference transfer. And that's where you get a whole different level of waiver. Like, you know, people forget about that. Everybody was talking about, you know, the tight end Eric Gilbert from LSU. But, you know, as far as I can know, the SEC still hasn't waived its intra-conference. It would require a waiver. It doesn't mean that it can't happen, but it would require a waiver for him to be immediately eligible. I don't know all the details on Tyke Smith. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to him yet, and you know, I look forward to. But if he is eligible, it's a big deal. This reminds me very much, I'm sure you too, Chuck, of Maurice Smith. You know, Mo Smith came over from Alabama. Really, Kirby was at the forefront of the transfer portal. There wasn't even a portal when Mo Smith came. And you remember what an impact he had on that 2016 defense. I mean, it was huge. And what people forget is Mo Smith was coming from Alabama as a graduate transfer, but the previous year he had 15 tackles. I mean, he was a big-time player. And Tyke Smith, you're talking about a guy coming over here with 111 tackles, 10.5 tackles for loss, 4 interceptions, 13 PBUs, third team All-American. I mean, this guy's been busy, right? He's very still, busy.
Chip, still 3 years of eligibility left.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a big deal. I do not know what the status is on whether that'll happen. But you think in this day and age where the NCAA was just on the precipice of approving, you know, one-time, no-questions-asked transfers, I would imagine this would go pretty smoothly, but that's just a guess.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. And, Chip, I appreciate I know that you're actually getting in a little vacation time, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking some of that valuable family time to spend with us here this morning on the Bulldog Roundtable. I thank you, my friend, and we'll catch up with you again real soon here. G-Day just 11 days away.
All right. We'll see you between now and then for sure.
All right, Chip Towers, the AJC, AJC.com. We're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to be joined by one of our very favorite student athletes, guy off our basketball team, PJ Horn. He'll be with us next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
Hi, this is Vince Dooley, and you're listening to the Georgia Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan. Now on FM at 93.7, Go Dogs!
And welcome back, and let's get right to it. Our good friend, a guy that has been a tremendous addition to University of Georgia men's basketball, P.J. Horn. And P.J., for the rest of my life, every time I think of you, I'm going to think about that winning layup against Kentucky you hit. I mean, but you know what you did? Everybody else was jumping up and down. You ran back on defense.
Yeah, I did, man.
Is that just training?
it was instinct, you know, the whole game. Just after we score, we don't score, I have to get back on defense. So keep playing until the clock run out. That has always been the thing of mine, you know, just to always keep playing no matter what until the clock.
That was a terrific moment, you know, because it had been so long since we'd beaten Kentucky, and for you to hit that game-winning layup there with just, I think it was less than 3 seconds left on the clock, but I saw you sprint back down for defense, which was really the smart thing to do. They did have a wild shot at the end, but it was way wide, and the Dogs come up with a victory. You are, as a graduate transfer, you know, you think a guy's been at school 4 or 5 years. You actually graduated from Virginia Tech in 3 years.
Yes. I did a lot of work at Virginia Tech, where we did a lot of work over the summertime also. So, like, I completed a lot of class in a short period of time. And I was very surprised when my advisor told me, like, okay, you're, like, going to graduate. And I was like, okay, really? Like, she's like, yeah. So that's how it really happened. And I was really proud of myself for accomplishing that at my age and in my class.
Can you just, since this is National Student Athlete Day, can you kind of address what it means to be a student athlete and the opportunity it gives you not only to play basketball and at a high level of competition, but also to be involved in the community and in the school.
Oh, it's great. It means everything, you know, when you can be involved in the community and also be a part of a program that, you know, you can believe in and you can put your all into while also going to class and doing everything you need to do to make sure that you're in the right position after basketball.
And you've taken full advantage of that. You were, when you were at Virginia Tech, you were an ACC academic honor roll there, and you know, you've taken advantage being a part of the SEC community service team for men's basketball here at the University of Georgia. The NCAA has granted an additional year of eligibility. What will you do next year?
Right now, I'm just trying to finish out the semester and figure out what I'm going to do.
Are you considering coming back and playing another year at Georgia?
Yes, of course.
Well, that'd be terrific to have you back. That'd be great for the team, I know. What are you? Are you still continuing to work out? And tell me a little bit about what your routine is. Aside from, I know what class is like. I did go a couple of times, but what are you doing outside of that?
Outside of class and stuff, and I make sure I get a lift in, and make sure I get a really good workout in. You know, every day, you know, is Monday through Friday. Make sure I keep in shape and keep
knocking down those threes. Keep knocking down those threes.
Yeah.
All right. I also know you tell me a little bit about, because I found this interesting too. You're pursuing a master's in nonprofit management and leadership. What led you to study that subject?
I was just, you know, growing up and coming from where I'm from, you know, just seeing people, you know, who need help with different things that they really didn't have the support of learning. So just being able to be there for the community and also get a degree myself in something that I could help with, you know.
Yeah. Well, PJ, I got to tell you, we certainly appreciate you being with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable and appreciate you more being a part of the men's basketball program here at the University of Georgia and all your contributions on and off the floor. And we'll be catching up again with you real soon, my friend. You did catch that Baylor game, that Baylor win last night, I know, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did.
That was something to watch. All right, PJ Horn here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. Our thanks to him, to Chip Towers, to Josh Brooks, all for being with us today. I want to remind everybody, don't forget the Ford Leadoff Show leading up to the Braves and the Nats coming to you from Washington today, and that's at 2:50. You can catch it here on 680 The Fan or, of course, on our 680 The Fan app, and definitely recommend you taking that down. In the meantime, stay tuned now for Home Team in Hamilton. They're next here on 680 The Fan. Let's have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.